Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find three new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M Podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Well, thankfully, vaccines are now widely available in this country. We seem to be emerging from the pandemic. If we can reach herd immunity, not only in this country, but worldwide, and if we observe safe practices, safe distancing and masking, if we don't let our guard down. Well, despite widespread vaccine availability, many people would like to keep working from home, at least part of the time. That's according to a survey by the Pew Research Center. More than half of employees said that, given the option, they would want to keep working from home even after the COVID crisis subsides. Far fewer people look forward to returning to the office full time. However, many employers are likely to revert back to pre-pandemic work arrangements, according to another survey. So the question this hour, how has our world of work been reshaped now and into the future? We'd like to have your input this hour. Do you face the return to office question at your work? How's that working out for you? What have been the discussions among colleagues? What have they been like? Or perhaps a discussion with your employer. Perhaps you are a manager and you've had to tackle this question. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Or email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Essentially, the question here, too, is what have you discovered about your work and perhaps yourself during this COVID work experience? 1-866-780-9100. Michelle Williams joins us again. She's an assistant professor of management and entrepreneurship at the University of Iowa Tippie College of Business. Glad to have you with us again, Michelle. Always good to hear your insights.
Oh, you too, Ben. I'm glad to hop on about this topic. It's so important.
It is so important, affecting so many of us. And I'll have some personal remarks, emails, and hopefully some callers here to share with you in just a moment. But start us off by telling us what factors need to be considered when sizing up working in person versus working remotely.
So first I'm going to just give a perspective from the organization's perspective. So for organizations, they need to think about the benefits that they're getting from having people have more flexibility and kind of take into account that this greater flexibility has a lot of benefits for people trying to manage both their home and their and if they have children. Children are still not going to have full summer camp coverage and childcare this summer, and into the fall, we're not exactly sure how it's going to look. So making sure that they retain some of that flexibility. What I've seen, and my colleagues are doing research, kind of interviewing people as this as the pandemic increase continues, have found that some employers are becoming less flexible and trying to get everyone back to work regardless of what the kind of social infrastructure is. On the other hand, organizations really need people to feel connected to the organization. The more they identify and are committed to the organization, the better the quality of work and the better work groups work together. And part of that is that informal chit-chat and conversation that people have. And particularly when they're hiring so many new employees in, being onboarded virtually is just not the same. And so the organization really, you know, having people back at least some of the time is really important for them to be able to maintain that culture that they've built up and has made them so successful.
Mm-hmm. When you say that organizations, companies are perhaps some of them becoming less flexible, what do you see behind that sort of, I guess, a reversal from many of the things that we're hearing that there are a lot of upsides to working at home? What's going on?
So I think perhaps they're, you know, perhaps they're overacting a little, to because it's not perfect, right? So we have a lot of benefits from working at home. We realize that jobs that we thought, you know, 3 years ago could not be done from home can be done effectively at home. But we're still seeing some downsides in teams and innovation teams that really need that interaction and that informal information sharing to get products to market on time and things like that. So they're trying to balance, you know, the benefits they get from having people work at home with the, you know, with needing some, with some jobs having higher interdependency. And I think there also, there's a challenge in managers learning how to balance monitoring and trust when their employees are working from home. We've seen a lot of backlash from employees, particularly in being overly monitored, you know, having their keystrokes monitored when they're working at home. And so the foundation of trust that that employers have and managers have been able to develop throughout this pandemic is really going to be important. And sometimes I think they're thinking, if we bring people back to work, we can reestablish that trust that may have faltered during while people were working at home.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, let me read some of an email from one of our listeners in Boone. Connor writes, I'm a software engineer and currently the commute to my office is around 50 minutes, but I've been working from home since last March. I love the convenience of being at home, seeing my dog, eating lunch and snacks at home, and not having to drive to and from the office. But I really miss physically interacting with people. I don't know if it is just the pandemic interaction that makes me miss human connections in general, or if it is the office connections, but I think I would rather work in the office most of the time. It would be preferable to have a mixed schedule where 2 days at home and 3 days at the office. He's got a few questions. A couple of them I think you've already sort of tackled. He says at the end of his email, I feel right now would be an incredible opportunity to break the bad norms that businesses have set up and set up new processes, he says, that benefit their employees the most. So this is a window of opportunity. Do you see it that way as well, Michelle?
Oh, definitely. I think Connor makes two fabulous points. One is that people such as software engineers who may have thought of themselves as introverts realize now that they do actually enjoy some of that conversation and connection and exchange of ideas in the office. And I think you've seen kind of the rise of the social audio app Clubhouse filling in some of that gap of people really wanting to talk together about kind of work-related topics like tech. The second thing he mentioned about an opportunity, I totally agree with, because this is when, as people come back to work, as long as employers are open to their voice to really ask, you know, what worked well at home? Why do you want to come back? What are the, you know, because they can really build upon the things that the employees really enjoyed about being at work and what things employees themselves say, it makes me more effective to be at work because of X, Y, and Z. And they can decrease the things that are drains on employees and really increase the other things that make them more effective. And it might be, for instance, having fewer meetings, or still, even though you're in the office, having some meetings on Zoom, because you can quickly do it and you don't have to walk to the conference room and walk back, and you can have a couple of meetings back to back with less switching, and then having some meetings in person because you really have to delve into something. I think there's a huge opportunity for employers to have more flexible policies even within the workplace.
Mm-hmm. So pre-pandemic, Michelle, it would have been unthinkable for most people to say, hey, I want to work at home. and that's just the way it is. That's my preference. You would get a lot of raised eyebrows from managers and so forth. Now, is that the same? Do employees wanting to work at home have more leverage? Can employers require and say, no discussion, that's the way it is, you're back in the office, depending on the work, right?
Yes, exactly. So employers can definitely demand that their employees come back to the office. But what they want to do is make sure that this is the most effective and efficient thing for their bottom line. I was talking to a couple of employees who had asked to work at home pre-pandemic and were told by their employer that that they could not, and this was not possible for their job to be done at home. As the pandemic hit, it became very clear that it was possible for them to do their job at home and be very effective. So I think that we're really calling upon employers and managers to really think about which jobs can be done at home, how they can be done. And one of the real impetuses for organizations to think this way is that I am seeing a lot of tech employees who are saying, oh, you know, I was applying only to things within, you know, an hour commute from where I live. But now I know I can apply to jobs all the way across the country because I can work from home. And so there is going to be a competition for employees, a more national, perhaps even global competition for employees that these organizations weren't necessarily willing to face. So they're thinking about what can be done from home is going to be really important.
Mm. Oh, so that's interesting. So the software engineer, I don't know if Connor is in this case, but all of a sudden he has, you know, when we talk about leverage, he has power if he wants it in negotiating whatever about his working conditions, maybe even pay that he didn't have before because he is, for whatever reason, not tied to a certain community geographically. Very interesting. To give us, I wonder, in the case of a employee who wants to work more from home, part-time from home, what are some tips you can give? How to approach these conversations when an employee knows, I know my boss, my organization is not really keen on having people stay home.
So that is a great negotiation question, and I love negotiations. I teach that and to executives and MBAs and undergrads. So I think that both there's kind of two pieces here, is that you want to make it a win-win for your employer. So you want to think about not only what are the advantages to you of working at home, but what are the advantages to the employer? What things are you able to do more efficiently for them, right? And think of this as collectively that you're trying to contribute to the organization by asking to work at home. You're not, this isn't a selfish act. It's something that you really think will make the employer better off. So thinking about it from their perspective, what do they need to get done? And then from your perspective, both what are the, where are the places where you might be flexible on working at home? Maybe it's, you know, 3 days a week is fine. Maybe it's not that you need to do it 5 days a week. And that gives you more to negotiate and bigger ways to build the pie. But the most important thing I think for employees to think about is something I call you build your brag book, right? So what are the things that you've done from home during this pandemic that has really contributed to the bottom line of your organization or moved a strategic initiative forward, and being able to show how you've helped that organization in very specific and key ways while working from home gives you more kind of power in making that argument that continuing that would allow you to continue this great work that you have been doing.
Mm-hmm. And so you make the case, you kind of think like a manager, you should think about a sort of a company-wide, organization-wide perspective. If you don't have that as an employee, make the case there that you're more productive, more effective, and get your brag book updated or create one if you never had one. I wonder, Michelle, if in these types of conversations, is it enough or is it a factor just to say, I am much happier working at least part-time from home? Is happiness something managers should take into account? Is that a good argument?
So, interestingly enough, in the U.S., emotions tend not to be a great argument. They don't tend to work and hit home. But in the form of a story or a narrative, they do. Right? Sometimes you may have a job that's extremely stressful. And what you can communicate is, you know, this is really stressful. We have a lot of clients who are pushing really hard or very upset about things, and being at home and being able to go walk my dog in the afternoon allows me to come back with that same energy and initiative in the afternoon as I have in the morning. When I'm in the office, I tend to be drained and I go down to the candy machine. You know, there's just not the same well-being outlets when I'm in the office. So kind of making it in the form of a narrative of how that well-being translates into you being a more engaged employee can be very powerful, because not all managers know that your kind of happiness and well-being really contribute to how you show up at work, and kind of painting a picture or making a story about that, even from, you know, a conversation you may have had with your manager previously about a very difficult client, and and telling the story of how, you know, this opportunity that you had, you know, to take a 15-minute walk in the park and come back, you know, allowed you to call that client back and really, you know, get them online and give them the customer service that you wanted to. And so things like that kind of help them see how your physical and mental well-being really serve yourself and serve the organization. So it's a win-win.
If you just joined us, Michelle Williams is my guest this half hour. She's on the faculty at the University of Iowa Tippey College of Business. They're a business scholar. Let me share. This is on Twitter from Green Penny Bank in Decorah. Environmentally speaking, it will be interesting to see how much or whether carbon emissions rise from work commuters. Will people buy more clothing, take more takeout or dine in, or more or less energy use? Homes still need energy when empty. How many are staying in remote mode? So this is interesting. We haven't raised this half hour. Environmentally speaking, consumption, that whether it's energy or clothing or food from takeout. What do you see there, Michelle?
So that is a very interesting question. And I definitely see a decrease in carbon emissions, very possible from having more of your employees working from home. So we see things in major cities like New York City that companies are renewing far less office space, because they realize that they can have, you know, satellite locations and people can work at home and just come in when they need for major meetings, maybe quarterly or monthly. And so not having those cars commute into the city and having people kind of at home and bicycling to closer locations when they need something has the potential to really transform the carbon footprint that some very large organizations are making.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about gender. I know this is an area of your research, their gender dynamics, how this has impacted men versus women, generally speaking, in the workforce.
So I think that there's been very interesting impacts. I think that you'll see from the research and the news articles that women have been really hard hit. Not only are women often business owners and workers in industries such as restaurant and retail that have been hard hit, but they've also borne the brunt of a lot of the childcare and homeschooling. That mm-hmm. So they now have three jobs instead of just, you know, taking care of the kids, doing the regular job, and then also being the teacher. This is going to be interesting going forward to see if companies are opening up much more quickly than childcare is opening up, because that would really present an issue for women returning to the workforce. And we've seen a lot of women leave the workforce. I think there are also important impacts for men, because men, given our societal stereotypes, are going to be even more expected to go back to the office when the offices open up. But men, you know, have been able to, you know, participate in their children's lives and daily experiences a lot more than before. And that strengthening the family may be extremely important to them in their, you know, in their identity now, even more so than it was, you know, a year and a half ago. And so having to having to push back on that side. So we have kind of stereotypes on both sides that men and women need to deal with in this return to work. And so I think that we don't want to forget the men, even though there are a lot of important issues to talk about in terms of women.
Right. And Michelle, as we have just a couple minutes left, as mentioned at the outset, there are a lot of ifs connected with when this pandemic will end, how prolonged it will be, so many factors there. But in the weeks and months to come, how do you see this evolving? And what in particular are you watching?
I am really watching, that's a great question. I am really watching leaders and of organizations, and I'm watching their ability to kind of rebuild and strengthen the trust of their employees that if you come back, we have, in a sense, we have your well-being at heart. We're not putting you at physical risk, and we're not putting your families at risk at a time when childcare is precarious. And so I think, and we're also have our pulse on the industry so that we are making decisions that will make this company successful so that you will have, you know, a job next year and it won't be a company that's closing down. So there's a lot of trust that's required in leaders, and that's, you know, not that's always been that's been decreasing over the last several years in the United States. And the last piece of trust is that you're going to be able to bring us back to work in a more inclusive workspace, right? There's been a lot of divisiveness in the country while people have been at home, and they really need to trust that they're going to be coming back to a workplace that is ready to manage that and build relationships across differences and philosophies that people may have.
Mm-hmm. In the final seconds we have here, less than a minute, Michelle, what do you have a significant unanswered question or two that is on your mind about how our work conditions are being reshaped?
I think my biggest question, and I think this is a great, you know, kind of one of those grand challenges, is how, as people go back to work, are we going to address some of the inequities that we see in education and in healthcare? And can we rebuild our workforce and our companies in ways that have a positive impact on some of those broken aspects of the system that we've seen through this pandemic?
Okay, very good. Michelle Williams, always wonderful to have you on the program. On the faculty at the University of Iowa Tippie College of Business, a business scholar, researcher. Michelle, until next time, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we'll be joined by business consultants Janice Allen and Mike McCarthy. They are co-authors of the book, Working from Home is Your New Superpower, Your Guide to Working Remotely. So we want to hear this next half hour from you working at home. What are your experiences? What are your concerns? What are your problems? 1-866-780-9100. Back with more River to River in just a moment. I'm Ben Kiefer.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Iowa PBS. For more than 45 years, Market to Market has provided perspective on the commodities, from farm gate to dinner plate. Find three new agribusiness podcasts each week, the M2M Podcast, Market Analysis, and Market Plus, all available wherever you subscribe and listen to podcasts.
And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Despite widespread vaccine availability, many people would like to keep working from home at least part of the time. That's according to several surveys, but one in particular I've looked at, the Pew Research Center survey, showing that more than half of employees said that given the option, they would want to keep working from home even after the COVID crisis subsides. Far fewer look forward to returning to the office full time. This half hour, my guests are spouses, business consultants, and co-authors of the new book, Working from Home is Your New Superpower, Your Guide to Working Remotely, Janice Allen and Mike McCarthy. Welcome to the program. I'll say hello to you first of all, Janice. Hello.
Hello, Ben.
and to Mike as well. Hello.
Hello, Ben. Glad to be here.
You're coming in loud and clear. Thank you for being with us this hour. We want to reach out to our listeners as well and ask if you've been working from home. Do you hope to continue? Tell us about your experiences, the upsides and the downsides, the challenges, many of which are addressed in Janice and Mike's book, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. So I'm going to be, Janice and Mike, you're a duo there, and along the superpower superhero theme, I'm just going to toss it out to the dynamic duo, many of these questions for you to decide who has the strength to answer each one best. But let me throw this one out, first of all, as a way of introduction, perhaps to you, Janice, first of all, in the interest this working from home, not just trending, but as you note in your book, it's a tsunami of interest. Tell us a little bit about your backgrounds and why you chose to write this book.
Ben, I grew up with parents who were role models in getting stuff done. And my interest and my passion is making good use of time, being productive. My parents were always project-oriented and let's make something. If we don't have it, let's make it. They grew up during lived through the Depression, and where it was use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. So those of us who are working from home now are creating new ways to be productive like our parents and grandparents were. I love finding ways to be efficient in using time. And that's really what I put into the book most of all. I'm very assertive about using my time in the way that I want to and not letting at-home interruptions or people who think just because I'm working from home, I don't really have a job, not letting them use my time unless I choose to.
Mm-hmm. Mike McCarthy, tell us a little bit to add to what Janice just said about why this book was written.
Well, we've worked from home for years. We would, of course, travel out to our clients. And so we've got a lot of experience in this area. And she has her office and I have mine. And we have learned how to be careful about interrupting one another in the middle of being in flow in our work. We're both business authors have about 8 books between us. And as you know, Ben, when you're in flow with writing something or creating an outline for something, a sudden interruption gets you off track and it's hard to get back on track. So we have learned to have little nonverbal signals for each other about when can we interrupt, when can we talk about this new idea we've got. And we've been able to work out a good ecology of working from home based on what I'm doing, what she's doing, and then getting together to brainstorm ideas.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's really interesting because so many of the people listening working from home have been working from home only within the last year or so. And you have a lot of years working from home and have worked out how that is. So you've got a lot of tips here. Janice, let's talk about some of the challenges you identify, concerns that you and Mike have answered, the challenges that you have met working from home. And I think Mike just sort of referred to one, defending, you have in the book, defending your workspace and your work time. In what sense do they need to be defended? If we think about this as a little bit of a fortress in a figurative way, what is banging on our fortress doors that we have to be wary of?
Right. That's a good visual, isn't it? Well, Ben, working from home has so many more opportunities or landmines for being interrupted than we have when we're working in a factory or an office. We have neighbors, we have children, we have housemates. You know, when the doorbell or the phone rings, the last thing a remote worker wants to hear is, since you work from home, ..
Yeah, right.
Because nothing we want to hear ever comes after that. Our co-author, Gail, had an experience where someone rang her doorbell and said, since you work from home, would you take my cat to the vet?
I have to throw in here, Janice, once I interviewed a novelist, successful novelist, who I asked what a common question was, and the person, a big fan, came up to them and said, I love your novels, but what do you actually do for work?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Along the same line, some people think that if you work from home, it's just a different thing. When you can be, and of course you are very productive if you're working.
Yes. Some people when you tell some people I work from home, they think it means either I'm between jobs and don't really have a job, or I have no deadlines. I have so much flexibility. I can just sit on the sofa and eat bonbons all day if I want to.
Let's talk about some other of these aspects. Mike, go to one of the other challenges in your book, setting up your workspace, perhaps. The newbies out there working at home have, you know, in the course of the year through trial and error, perhaps they've looked up websites or information from friends about how to set up workspaces. What challenges connected with the actual workspace do you tackle in the book?
Well, one of the biggest ones is once you have selected your workspace is marking your territory so that the rest of the people in your household, your roommates or your family, your children, your spouse, recognizes that you're at work. They wouldn't dream of knocking on your office door if you were at office tower and saying, would you take my cat to the vet? But at home, there's no clear delineation. So if I'm working at my computer at the kitchen table, well, that's where we eat. So we have to have a delineation to say, dad's now at work or mom's now at work. The kitchen table is no longer the kitchen table. It's mom's office. We went even insofar as we recommend signage. Put up some kind of a sign. I mean, your office, a physical office tower, has a sign that says Acme Corporation or what have you, hours of operation. Create your own signage. Say, Mike's work from home space, hours of operation, 8 to 12 every day or whatever it might be, to signal the kids that this isn't a time where you could just interrupt him anytime you want to. Mm-hmm. Janice and I had some fun with this to say in an extreme case, you see on TV, crime scene tape. Everybody knows with this crime scene tape, you don't cross it. The police are enforcing it. So we got some work scene tape and stretched it around the dining room table just to indicate work is going on here. Do not cross. Do not collect $200.
Right. And Janice, I imagine, you know, houses are different. People have more space. Perhaps you have the luxury of being able to dedicate a room to your workspace. In that case, maybe you have a sign on the door, or maybe even get really fancy and have a light outside the door that you can somehow fashion and have on, things like that. Janice.
Yes, you know, it is a luxury to have an office, but we know many people who work from home do not. We heard of one person who only had an ironing board for a workspace. Think of doing your work on an ironing board. Wow. So if you have anything with a firm surface, a flat surface, and it's bigger than an ironing board, count yourself lucky.
Let's talk about some of the technologies here. Of course, Zoom is something many of us never even heard of before this pandemic, and now it's part of our daily lives. And some would say far too much of our daily lives, our work lives. Mike, what did you identify as the challenges specifically connected with Zoom meetings?
Well, the number one challenge, I called it the evil Dr. Zoom, who you never know if he's going to press the record button when you're in your plaid pajamas, and soon you'll be trending all over social media. So number one, learning that just because you're working from home does not excuse you from dressing for work if, in fact, you're going to a Zoom meeting. The other thing is there's something called Zoom fatigue that we're hearing about, where unlike a conference table in an office where it's very natural to look down at your notes or make notes or glance at somebody across the table from you, whether they're the speaker or not. in the Zoom environment, it's like the Hollywood squares. There's all these squares of people all staring at you, and you feel like you're on stage. You're an actor on the stage in Broadway, and all these audience people are staring at you, and you think, gosh, did I comb my hair? Gosh, did I put on my makeup correctly? Right. And so you feel attention. You feel like a hyper alertness when you're there, which is why a lot of people now don't activate the video at all, because they don't want to be under scrutiny for that type of thing. But some of our tips are, number one, dress appropriately to show respect to your colleagues. Number one, you don't want to be there in your old holy t-shirt. And tell your colleagues when you want to say something, or let them know when you want to contribute. But also with Zoom fatigue, Janice has written about this, that sometimes the talk expands to fill the available Zoom time. Mm. If we've got an hour scheduled for Zoom time, you know, Parkinson's law is the work expands to fill the time. Well, Zoom's law, or Michael's law, is the talk expands to fill the allotted Zoom appointment. Maybe you could have gotten the accomplishment done in half the time. Maybe doing it via email, maybe doing it via an online document sharing to get the same thing done without everybody feeling like we've got to do some talking here.
Right. We went to all the trouble to have six or seven of us on this Zoom meeting. We better make it last a while. Janice, you run into that.
Yes, yes. You know, there's a book titled Death by Meeting. And it was written about live meetings, but virtual meetings are the same thing. Most people hate meetings. Zoom meetings may fall into the same category. So, you know, we hear people say, I'm bored to death by this meeting, or this discussion is killing me. It's just interesting to me. Think of the words that mean death. There are so many references to dying when people talk about meetings.
I wondered, Janice, Mike talked a little bit about the Zoom meetings and the challenges, but when we talk about, you know, being on display for whatever the Brady Bunch, however big that is, everybody seeming to look at you, is there an etiquette that has been established for when you may sort of just get rid of the visual part and have your name appear in your Hollywood square?
Yes. To let your coworkers know at the outset of the meeting, I'm just putting up my photo today. No reason needed, no explanation needed, but it just gives both you, if you're doing it, and other people the next time around, the freedom to do it. But just don't keep me in suspense and have me think, well, there's a technical problem on why I can't see John.
Is there any reason... I can imagine there must be employers out there who say, no, we have to be able to see you. Janice, is there any comeback for that if you don't want to be sort of under the looking glass? Here's my photo. Okay. Okay. So, yeah, these norms are kind of developing here. Mike, mention another aspect as we have about 5 minutes left of our conversation. Where else do you go in this book that... I should mention, you are co-authors of the book, Working from Home is Your New Superpower, Your Guide to Working Remotely. Mike, tackle another area here.
First of all, the title is Working from Home is Your Superpower. So if they're looking on Amazon for the book, they won't find it under New Superpower.
Okay.
But another aspect is just distractions. I call it the evil supervillain, Dr. Distracto, first cousin to the evil Dr. Zoom. That when you're sitting at home, there's all these little chores and various little things you meant to do over the weeks and months. And as you're walking from one room to another, you're going to naturally just see these things.
Yep.
So I walk away from my office to get something. And I say, oh, there's a dust bunny on the floor. I better clean that up. Whoa, wait a minute. Maybe I should vacuum the entire house. Well, there goes another hour of wasted time when you're not getting your work done. Mm-hmm. Or you have a candle on your desk and you say, oh, that candle, Aunt Barnacle gave us that candle. And I don't think I ever wrote her a thank you note. I should do that now. So these are all the things that are dangled. Our little illustration of Dr. Distracto shows him with tentacles like an octopus dangling all these distractions in front of us, anything to keep us from our main focus, which is our work. And we have a technique we call make ready, whereby you try to clear your workspace, your desktop, your ironing board, or your dining room table, of clear it of everything except your laptop, if that's what you use, and the files that you're going to use to do your work. Because if you have other objects, they're likely to be a distraction, and it focuses you on the work at hand.
Mm-hmm. And Janice, have you found in your consulting work over the years, people working at home, we're more or less susceptible to distractions, but can you become a person who is less susceptible to distractions if you find at first, wow, I really fumbled that working from home deal. I just can't focus. I've got too many things that I love around me that distract me from my work. Can you move in that direction? Or is it a matter of perhaps personality type that some are just not built to work from home?
You can do it, and it only takes those three little words, I'm on deadline.
Hmm.
When someone wants you to do something or places a social call in the middle of your workday, I'm on deadline. I'm on deadline. Aren't you excited for me? I'm on deadline.
Yep. And that helps you not have to take that cat to the vet either.
Yeah, right.
Have that line ready. Let's get to some emails before we finish up the hour. Julie writes, at home, I always work longer hours than I would if I was at the office. I don't pay close attention to the clock because I don't need to catch a bus to get to the commuter lot where my car is parked or worry about getting dinner started on time since I'm a few steps away from the kitchen and can take a short work break to do that. It's a pitfall for me, but a bonus for my employer. Still, I would love to work from home forever. Mike, that's interesting too, right? We save all this time if you work at home, even if it's just part-time from home. That's commuting time you save. And look at all the efficiencies that Julie and many of us have discovered.
Right. My joke about that is to say it was the great awakening when corporations discovered their employees could get just as much work done from home. But from the employee point of view, I called it the great asleepening. I can sleep in later because I don't have that commute time.
Lotta writes in this email, working from home has provided the opportunity for me to actually have a job. As a mother, the work-life balance was impossible to achieve when going into an office daily. As a result, I left the workforce for several years to be a full-time mother. Now that work from home has become a current trend, I have since re-entered the workforce in a work-from-home capacity. I have enjoyed the benefits of being employed while not sacrificing some of the things I find most important parts of being a mother, like being home when they get home from school or staying home with them when they are sick. So, Janice, there's another benefit, isn't it?
Yes, and we find that for parents who have kids at home and kids who have projects and homework to do, if they're at that age, the parents and the children can have a little agreement going as they're working during the morning or the afternoon. You do your work until 10:15, I'll do my work. And when the clock gets to quarter after 10, we're going to stop work and get together and show off what we've each accomplished. And so I can get support from a child and the child gets support from me. So we enjoy those things together.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting as we finish up here, if we look back at sort of human history, work history, it's fairly recently, isn't it, that we have, you know, sent one spouse or perhaps both mother and father go off to work and then come back at the end of the day. If we go back to earlier times, Mike, we worked in very close proximity to our homes, and it was more integrated into our families, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. We had the cottage industries. We had the institution of various shopkeepers. You lived above the shop. Your commute to home was going downstairs and opening the shop up. You were the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. So we have come full circle in that regard. And for those who choose to work at home, I think this is a golden age for them. Your previous guest referred to managers learning how to manage this. One of the things Janice and I help managers do is learn how to identify the tangible results you want from somebody, so that you're not looking over their shoulder or counting their keystrokes or micromanaging. And you can get comfortable with this yourself, because you can say, my people are producing.
Yep. Focus on the outcome is the message there. Mike McCarthy, Janice Allen, and I'll get the name, the title of your new book right this time. Working from Home is Your Superpower, Your Guide to Working Remotely. Janice and Mike, thank you for spending the half hour with us.
My pleasure.
You're welcome. And if you want a quick overview of the book, workingremotely.us.
Got it, Mike. Thank you so much. Tomorrow on the program, we'll look at how people have experienced work during this pandemic, either positively or negatively. We hope you'll join us. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us today on River to River.